Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, May 14th, 2023, Romans.
All right, it's first things first. Today is Mother's Day, and so I thought you ought to get some divine viewpoint. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The rooster. Happy Mother's Day. That's the Mother's Day message for this morning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. We're almost to the end of chapter 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 18. Verse 18. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness. What is that one act of righteousness? The salvation work of Christ on the cross, the imputation of the sins of the whole world to Christ and their judgment. There resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many, those who believe in Jesus Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. Verse 20. Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role, in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace, the grace of God, increased in superabundance. Personal sins multiply and multiply and multiply in the human race. But the grace of God is superabundantly greater than the increase of personal sins. Every personal sin of the entire human race has already been judged in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This is truly grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sins. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace, hey charis, never get tired of seeing this. The definite article, hey, charis. Grace. The grace of God. Hey, charis. And what about the grace of God? Well, it huper periseuod. That's huperperisseuo. Huper periseuod. Now, periseuo all by itself means abundantly, in abundance. When you prefix the preposition huper, now it's superabundance. The grace of God, hey charis, huper periseuod, increased in superabundance. So we started to take a look at grace in our summary of this verse, and we studied two points. The first point, grace is all that God is free to do for mankind without compromising His essence, His divine attributes, who and what He is. Divine virtue love is the motivation for God's grace policy toward mankind. God is virtue love. This is our Thursday night class in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 5. The Apostle John is teaching the concept of virtue love. And he points out and repeats in 1 John chapter 4, God is virtue love. God is virtue love. God has infinite impersonal love for all mankind. The whole world. God loved the world so much. The world. Every member of the human race in spiritual death, totally depraved, no damn good. God loved the world. How could He love that world? With infinite impersonal love for all. The key to impersonal love is righteousness, justice, honor, virtue. And God has infinite virtue, infinite righteousness, infinite justice, infinite honor, infinite virtue. And that infinite virtue is the basis for Him having impersonal love for us, the whole world, when the world is very unlovely. And in that impersonal love for all, He designed a plan for all of us. Operation Grace. What a great name for it. Operation Grace. What motivated Him to design Operation Grace? Virtue love. His impersonal love for the entire world. God loved the world so much He gave His uniquely born Son that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Impersonal love for all. Impersonal love is unconditional love for all. Personal love is conditional. So the first point, grace is all that God is free to do for mankind without compromising his essence or his divine attributes. Divine virtue love is the motivation for God's grace policy toward all of mankind. Grace is undeserved blessing. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's undeserved blessing which God freely gives to all mankind, the whole human race. Grace is the policy of God that permeates all Christian experience. Then point two, grace includes the provision of God for mankind from eternity past. First of all, in the principle of common grace. Now, this is called common grace because it's common to the whole human race, to all mankind. The benefits of common grace are experienced by every member of the human race, believer, unbeliever alike, without discrimination, without any discrimination, without any prejudice toward anyone. This is common grace. I don't care for the name common grace. I think it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious grace, but that's too hard for you to write that all down. Amazing grace. There are several facets of this common grace. First of all, the work of Jesus Christ in sustaining the universe by the word of his power is a manifestation of common grace. We saw that in Colossians 1:16 and 17. And in Hebrews 1:3, which says, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things, the entire universe, the heavens and the earth, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, Jesus Christ is sustaining planet Earth. So, mankind is not going to destroy our planet. You're not going to destroy planet Earth because you drive cars that use gasoline or anything else. It's impossible for man to destroy planet Earth. Jesus Christ is sustaining this planet. And you have to be very, very, very arrogant to think you're greater than Jesus Christ is. He's the one who created the universe. He's the one who's sustaining the universe. He is sustaining planet Earth. And so that's common grace to all of us. We're not going to destroy the planet and all of this about climate change. Now, I've been watching hockey. I like watching hockey. Although sometimes it becomes boxing on skates out there. But I like watching hockey. And I love rooting for the Golden Knights hockey team. Now, my brother lives in Seattle. And he calls me every Monday. And I told him, I said, Don, I know you got a hockey team in Seattle, but I'm going to just tell you right out front, I'm not rooting for them. He goes, I know, I'm not rooting for them either. I said, that is Satan's hockey team. And they play in an arena called climate change. I can't root for a team that plays in an arena called climate change. So I said, I think that's Satan's hockey team. So, but anyway, we're not going to destroy planet Earth. We're going to have perfect air, perfect water, perfect food. Jesus Christ is coming back to this planet. There will be perfect environment for 1,000 years. Perfect environment, perfect peace, perfect prosperity, perfect water, perfect food, all of these things. Why? Because Jesus Christ is sustaining planet Earth and the heavens by his grace. to carry out the plan of God. See, the plan of God is explained in the Word of God, but we no longer know what the Word of God says. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you should know what the Word of God says. God's told His plan in His Word. We're living in the church age. At the end of the church age, we have the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. All believers are removed from the earth. Then that starts the seven-year tribulation period. And in the seven-year tribulation period, the Antichrist will come on the scene. All hell will break loose on earth for 7 years. And then Jesus Christ will return to this earth at the second advent. We will return with Him as His bride. We're the body of Christ now, but we will return to earth as the bride of Christ. We will return to Him with Him to this earth, and He will establish His kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years with perfect environment. And everybody will have a Hummer. Now that's a millennial. Everybody gets to have a Hummer that burns gas. Well, that isn't really in there, but... I'm still studying it to see if I can find it in there somewhere. So this common grace ministry is the work of Jesus Christ in sustaining the universe by the word of His power. That's a manifestation of His common grace. The function of the universe to both the just and the unjust, believers and unbelievers, is another manifestation of common grace. Matthew chapter 5, and we saw this great passage. Matthew 5, verse 43, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." Impersonal love for all. The only way you can do that is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, why we are here. The ultimate objective of why we're here is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in our heart, have personal love for God the Father, which is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and occupation with Jesus Christ. When you have accomplished that, then you will fulfill what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. I say to you, love your enemies, impersonal love for all, and pray for those who persecute you. And then verse 45, in order that you may be sons of your Father, God the Father, who is in heaven, for He, God the Father, causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's common grace. Whether it's believers or unbelievers, without discrimination, without prejudice, God has His Son come up on the evil and the good and sends rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everything that God does to prevent the human race from self-destruction is a manifestation of common grace. And this includes the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit, which will continue until the rapture, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-7. And the greatest manifestation of common grace is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to every unbeliever all over the world. When the gospel is given, the Holy Spirit goes inside the unbeliever's soul, turns on the light so that he can understand the grace gospel and have an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. John 16, 8 through 11. Now that brings us to point three. Point three, salvation grace. Salvation grace. Salvation grace is motivated by divine impersonal love for all mankind. John 3:16, God loved the world so much. The world of mankind in spiritual death. God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love, impersonal love for all mankind toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is virtue love. Divine impersonal love, which is an unconditional love for all, and divine personal love, which is a conditional love for a few. So, virtue love and the plan of God. Virtue love and the plan of God. All right. First of all, phase one. Phase one in the plan of God is salvation. Phase one in the plan of God is salvation. Divine impersonal love. Divine impersonal love for all mankind, for the entire human race, for the world. That's the motivation for Operation Grace. Operation Grace. The world is in spiritual death, total depravity. And God designed a plan because of His divine impersonal love for all the world, all mankind. He designed Operation Grace, the cross. He designed Operation Grace, the cross, which required His eternal Son to leave heaven, humble Himself and take on true humanity, go to that cross, and then the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the entire human race by His salvation work on the cross. So phase one, salvation, divine impersonal love for all mankind, gave us Operation Grace. Divine personal love is a conditional love for those few who place their faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first part of the plan of God. Grace in the phase one, salvation. Phase two of the plan of God. This is the believer in time. The believer in time. Again, divine impersonal love is given to all believers under the principle of 40 salvation blessings given to them at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, and logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, that you might carry out God's plan for your life and glorify Him to the maximum. That's for all. For all believers, the baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, carnal believers, reversionistic believers, winner believers, all believers receive these 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace, blessing, and support. And then there's divine personal love for the few who take advantage of that 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace, blessing and support, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and advance to spiritual maturity. And then divine personal love goes to those few who attain spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And that is by pouring out greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing for you right here in the middle of the devil's world. That's phase two. Believer in time. And then phase three. The believer in eternity. The believer in eternity. Again, divine impersonal love. Divine impersonal love. All believers, every single one, will receive a resurrection body and live with God forever in heaven. All believers. Divine impersonal love for all. And then divine personal love. Will be for the few believers who advance to spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, and they will receive greater grace blessings for all eternity. And these greater grace blessings will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now we have this coming up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a fantastic study. But 2 Corinthians 5:10, we have the judgment seat of Christ, and we will go into the judgment seat of Christ and the evaluation that takes place. Every member of the royal family of God, every church age believer, will be evaluated. It's not a judgment. It's not determining whether you go to heaven or go to hell. You're going to be in heaven. Every believer will be in heaven, eternal security. It's an evaluation. An evaluation to see whether you receive greater grace blessings for eternity or you lose out on those greater grace blessings. That's the judgment seat of Christ. So in phase three, the believer in eternity, divine impersonal love for all believers, will receive a resurrection body, live with God forever. They have eternal security. Divine personal love, greater grace blessings awarded to the few winner believers at the judgment seat of Christ. Grace means that all things from God, including salvation by grace through faith, are received from God totally apart from any form of human merit or human works. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Point four, efficacious grace. Point four, efficacious grace. Now the word efficacious means effective. Effective as a means of having or sharing the described result or producing the described effect. Now there are two categories of efficacious grace. Two categories. Category number one, the salvation work of Christ on the cross is efficacious in that it is a combination of unlimited atonement and propitiation. So the salvation work of Christ on the cross is efficacious in that it is a combination of unlimited atonement and propitiation. The grace aspect of unlimited atonement means that Jesus Christ was judged for all the sins of the entire human race, not just for those who would believe in Christ, but that Jesus Christ was judged for all the sins of the entire human race, and God the Father was satisfied with that work. Efficacious The salvation work of Christ on the cross is efficacious. The grace aspect of unlimited atonement means Jesus Christ was judged for all the sins of the entire human race, and God the Father was satisfied with His work on the cross. And the implication is that every member of the human race has the same equal opportunity for eternal salvation. That is efficacious grace. Every member of the human race has the same equal opportunity for salvation. Because our Lord was judged for every sin in human history on the cross, sin is no longer the issue in salvation. So that's the first category. The salvation work of Christ on the cross is efficacious, in that it is a combination of unlimited atonement and propitiation. Second category, faith alone in Christ alone is efficacious for eternal salvation. At that very moment that you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes your faith, the faith of the spiritually dead unbeliever, and makes that faith effective for eternal salvation. Therefore, common grace and efficacious grace combine the ministry under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Grace depends entirely upon who and what God is, not who and what we are. Point five. The church age believer is not only saved by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not only saved by grace, but then there is, God has the salvation, is after salvation, the believer is blessed by grace, and this is post-salvation grace. So the church age believer is not only saved by grace, but after salvation, the believer is blessed by grace, and this is post-salvation grace. Post-salvation grace. So most of you, if not all of you, have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and now you're enjoying post-salvation grace that God has for each one of you. Let's amplify that a little bit. One, post-salvation grace is motivated by divine personal love because the believer possesses the imputed righteousness of God, establishing a grace pipeline. Post-salvation grace is the principle that God has given us a grace pipeline. So you came to the cross, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputed to each one of you the righteousness of God. This establishes a grace pipeline. And post-salvation grace is all of these phenomenal blessings that come down that grace pipeline from the very first moment of faith in Jesus Christ and the establishment of that grace pipeline every single day of your life. Grace, grace blessing, grace blessing, grace blessing, grace blessing. You're encapsulated by the integrity of God. I hope you truly think about that and what that means. You're encapsulated by the integrity of God. You're encapsulated by, with the justice of God on one end, the imputed righteousness of God in you on the other end, establishing a grace pipeline, and God sends down blessing, 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 post-salvation grace. Day after day after day after day, post-salvation grace. You are here this morning, recipients of that post-salvation grace. Whenever you get into some kind of a difficulty or adversity or suffering or whatever it is, take the time to think, I am encapsulated by the integrity of God. I'm encapsulated by the integrity of God. I have the absolute certainty and security of grace blessings coming to me day after day after day. God hasn't forgotten you. God's totally aware. You are royal family of God. He looks at you and He sees you in union with Jesus Christ. You're not just family of God, you're royal family of God. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You're royal family of God. He looks at you and sees His righteousness in you. And that grace pipeline. And He sends down that pipeline, post-salvation grace, day after day after day after day. So sub-point one, post-salvation grace is motivated by divine personal love because the believer possesses the imputed righteousness of God, establishing this grace pipeline. Two, post-salvation grace is the function of the grace pipeline. Function of the grace pipeline. The very moment you believed in Christ, 40 salvation blessings came down that grace pipeline. And then every single day, God sends logistical grace, blessing and support down that pipeline to every one of you. No matter what status you're in, hopefully you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, whether you're baby believer, adolescent, mature believer, those logistical grace blessings come down every day. Whether you're a loser believer, a winner believer, those logistical grace blessings come down that grace pipeline every single day. God is tapping His foot. He's giving you this grace. He gave you all those 40 salvation grace blessings and all this logistical grace blessings because He wants you to come to the point where you realize why you're here. You're here to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're here to fulfill the ultimate objective, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when that is true, God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings in time, right now, in the devil's world. And I don't care what's going on in America or around the world. Nothing interferes and stops that greater grace blessing coming down the grace pipeline to the winner believer. Greater grace blessings right here in time, and then greater grace blessing for all eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Three. By grace, we are encapsulated by the integrity of God. We are encapsulated by the integrity of God. Four, this provides the security of grace blessings to the believer after salvation. This provides the security of grace blessings to the believer after salvation. You have this phenomenal security because of this grace pipeline. Phenomenal security. Security of grace blessing to the believer after salvation. Grace is undeserved blessing from God based on who and what God is. Subpoint five, post-salvation grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor, the total divine provision of the persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the believer's fulfillment of God's plan, will, and purpose for the church age. Post-salvation grace is unmerited favor, the total divine provision of the persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, for the believer's fulfillment of God's plan, will, and purpose for the time in which we live. And again, you ought to know the time in which you live. Again, unfortunately, we're living at a time when believers don't know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, then you won't understand the plan of God. You won't understand the divine interpretation of history. There's only one correct, true interpretation of history, and that's found in the Word of God. That's dispensational truth. But I can't tell you how many believers do not even know what time it is. They don't even know they're living in the church age. And that's sad. They don't understand the divine interpretation of history. They don't understand the age of Israel. They don't understand the church age. They don't understand that there's still the 70th week of Daniel, the completion of the age of Israel, following the rapture of the church, which is the tribulation period. They don't understand that. They don't understand the second advent of Christ to the earth, and we're coming back with him, and the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. On this earth. With perfect air, perfect water, perfect food. But we're living at a time when believers don't know God's Word. So, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace, the grace of God, increased in superabundance. All right, well, that brings us to verse 21. But we'll go ahead and take our break here and give you a few minutes to go out, and I think there's lots of goodies out there for you to eat. And you can come back in a few for part two.